Good evening. Greetings in Christ's name again. It's been really good to be here already tonight. I was really challenged by the message we heard. And I'd like to also share my testimony on being here. I really enjoyed being with you all here this week. And it's been just a blessing to get to know you all a little bit better and make connections. It's always a good thing when you feel a broader connection with the saints of God. And it's been one of those weeks for me. It's also a good day for me because I went to Spokane this afternoon and picked my wife up. So that's I feel really pleased about that as well. Of course, this evening my topic is practical pointers for family finances, and the title seems to indicate that we should move beyond the conceptual to the pointed. And so I'm going to do that. We're going to try to be specific about certain things we can do. I think we do need to be a bit conceptual. We have to get a bit of an introduction, an overview, before we get too practical. And so I'd like to do a little bit of that as well. So first of all, a few concepts of stewardship. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So it's so crucial that as Christians, as Christian families, we have a correct concept of godly stewardship. And what is stewardship? Gary Miller, in his book, talks about an example of a girl who is given $20 by her mom to go and take this money to the grocery store and buy a gallon of milk and a few bananas. And when she comes back, her mom asks for the change, and she hands over $3. And she says, $3 for, where's the rest? And she said, well, you know, they've got this new drink at Starbucks, and it looks so good. And I just had to try it out. And also, have you seen their new raspberry scones? Got a couple of those, too. They're sort of expensive, but my, it was worth it. It's really good. And she hands her mom $3 for buying a gallon of milk and a bunch of bananas. It's out of kilter there, isn't it, a little bit? And yet, what does God think of us when he gives us so many gifts, and he gives us more than we could ever use or need? And we spend it on ourselves. And then we give them a little bit at the end of the day, and we say, better be thankful. You know, I've done my duty. What does God think of us? Do we have a true biblical understanding of stewardship? That whatever we have is to be at God's disposal. It's interesting what Jesus says here in this passage. He doesn't say, for where your heart is, there will your treasure be. He says, where your treasure is, there is your heart. We tend to think we can do it the other way around sometimes, don't we? That we can hold these things, we can have this treasure, and yet our heart really isn't in it. A question: when you've paid the bills, when a mortgage payment has been paid, and you've got the groceries and the gas money taken care of, and you've got a little bit left over, what happens to the little bit left over? What we do with that little bit left over may tell us more than we'd like to know about where our treasure is. Sometimes we don't think we have any left over, and we like to talk about that a little bit as well. We must seek to see the world as God sees it, and to understand our place in the world as God sees our place. Are we our brother's keepers? What is our responsibility to those less fortunate than we? What do we do when we are faced with overwhelming needs and our means seem far too small to cope? Sometimes when we see so many needs around us, we just say, well, it's no use anyway, and we just simply don't get involved at all. Jesus talks here about investing in the kingdom of heaven, building up treasure in the kingdom of heaven. How do we invest in the kingdom of heaven? I think it's by giving ourselves in real ways to the work of the kingdom. Now, we talk a lot about concepts, we talk about principles, and we should. Talk about the overviews of things and these grand overarching principles. But it really comes down to the nuts and bolts, doesn't it? To what we talk about, rubber meeting the road. Giving ourselves in real ways to the work of the kingdom. Giving the money that we've been given in the work of the kingdom. We're called to be kingdom workers, not merely recipients of the grace of God. And there seems like verse 21 there, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's not a whole lot of ambiguity there, is it? It's just pretty much straightforward. Jesus says, doesn't say maybe, doesn't say perhaps, he just says it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Where is our treasure? Matthew 6, 24 through 34, Jesus says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's impossible to escape our humanity. We're humans. At least I count myself among that genus. And it's in the nature of humans to serve something. It's something we can't escape. It's in our nature. We are going to be subservient to some entity. It's not a question of if, but a question of whom or what we will serve. And we must choose consciously whom we will serve. Or we are going to make a choice by default. And the choices we make by default, simply by following our human nature, are seldom the right choices. They're not the right choices as God's people, and they're not the right choices as humans either. They aren't good for us. Whom will I choose to follow? Materialism is the default. And essentially, materialism is unbelief in action. It's visible unbelief. Because materialism posits that the things that we can touch, feel, see, these are the real things. These are the important things. And they are the things that I'm going to invest in. These are the things that matter to me. And so by default, what we're saying is that the things of God, the things of eternity, the things that are unseen of the Spirit, these things don't matter as much. The people around me, the needs that I see, building for eternity, don't matter as much as the things I can see, touch, and feel. When we concentrate on the present instead of eternal life, when our financial goals and spending habits reflect an undue interest in creature comforts, in retail therapy, in the acquisition of things, it does expose a certain mindset and a worldview that otherwise might be kept hidden. And Jesus was not silent on the subject of possessions, of money, and of stewardship. Quite the contrary. He was very vocal about it, and all the Bible is, actually. When we seek to glorify God by the proper response to the financial blessings or challenges he sends our way, not only does he receive praise, but we are freed from the burdens of covetousness and discontent, and also from the burden of self-satisfaction or being self-sufficient. The Bible is full of relevant information on all kinds of subjects, and what Brother DJ was sharing tonight about things that don't go out of date. I think that the Bible is full of timeless truth. Real truth is timeless. It matters in every generation. And the Bible has timeless truths for us on finances. and on how to interact with our material world. So I think our first question should be, as Christians, when it comes to our finances, what does God have to say about it? That's one of the first questions we need to ask, and then build from there. There are so many voices out there, and when it comes to finances, people want to make their buck quick and retire by the age 40 or 50, and they want to get in and get out. I was riding a train one day, or one night actually, got on the train in Vienna. I trained in Vienna and was heading for Romania and came through Hungary. And in Hungary, a group of three people got on the train very excitedly. And they couldn't stop talking about this wonderful place they had been and this wonderful seminar they had been at. And they accosted me and said, we are going to change the world. And they made extremely strong statements. They said communism had its chance. The communists told us that communism was going to change the world and we were going to become the perfect society. Everything was going to be better. And communism failed. And they said religion failed. And people tried to make people better through religion. It didn't work. You just see all the damage that has been done by religion. But they said, we have found the answer. And it's unbelievable. How this is going to happen. People are going to become wealthy. People are going to save money. People are going to have a completely new life. And it's going to change the world. And I said, well, what was this place you went? They said, it was an Amway meeting. Amway meeting. And, you know, these are poor people and are being sold a bill of goods. And it's terrible how people get scammed. And, you know, people fall into these traps and they try to take shortcuts and they fall victim to con artists, basically. Okay, so what do we do? Getting practical here. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says this, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." How do we apply that to finances? Well, I think one of the first things we must do, if we haven't done it already, when it comes to finances, is do an evaluation. Simply sit down. If you're married, sit down with husband and wife, sit down with each other. If you're single, it's a great time to do this because you haven't made a lot of mistakes that some of the older people probably have already. Sit down and take a good, hard look at where you are financially. And don't try to... Don't try to fool yourself into thinking you're in a better place than you are. Mistakes are the most easily corrected before they happen. But if they have already happened, the quicker they're corrected and identified and corrected, the better. Denial keeps people from making good assessments. And sometimes people just think, well, we're just going to bulldoze our way through this. The old saying applies, if you always do what you've always done, you're always going to get what you've always gotten. Don't be in denial. Try to understand things as they are, not as you wish them to be. Don't overinflate the performance potential of a new venture. Amway won't come to your rescue. Don't count your chickens before they're hatched. Try to be realistic. So evaluate your current position. And I was a little bit conflicted in how detailed to get. I'm not going to become just terribly detailed in this. I'm just going to throw some of these concepts out there. There's a lot of reading material available. Gary Miller has some excellent books on this. And I would encourage you to look into some of the fine points of that. It's more than we can share in a single evening. But try to do an assessment. Find out how much you are spending. Here's one tip. Find out how much you are spending on discretionary items. It may not seem like much, but when you add up that list of coffees and burgers and sodas, you might be shocked at how tall that stack of money is when you think of it. There's a lady that installs floors for me back in Missouri, And she has a term for it. She says people are convenience store poor. And it's amazing how much money can be spent if you're not paying attention. Because little things really do matter. So just keep a calculator with your piece of paper and write down all your expenses for a week. You might be amazed. Try to be realistic in evaluating your expenses. And then set goals. Set goals. Few worthwhile things are achieved without setting goals. Things don't just happen. You won't just fall into financial success. You won't just fall into a place where your family isn't a good place financially. You're going to have to set goals for it. And I think, finance. God cares about your finances. We don't separate this part of our life from the rest of our life. It's not like we have church over here and spiritual things and finances over here. And God doesn't really touch our finances. And we shouldn't be embarrassed to talk about this as Christians because it really does matter. It matters that we get it right. Where would you like to be financially 10 years from now? What would you want your children to remember about their growing up years in relation to your material and your spiritual priorities? Remember, materialism is the antithesis of what we're after, what we really are after. It's in direct opposition. What place should giving have in your life? Set these things as goals. Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." I heard an excellent message the other night on work ethic, so I'm not going to go into that too much. I think that's really important that we have a good work ethic so that we can give. And then it's also important that we save for the inevitable. Not stockpile, not hoard, but that we save for the inevitable. I would like at this point to look over in Luke 12 and see the danger in this. God has told us in his word that there are certain things that are just simply cut off from us. We are commanded not to lie. We're commanded not to steal. We're commanded not to kill. These things are against God completely. And the Bible is also full of the danger of riches and how it even says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And yet we are forced to live in this material world. And we are forced to live in an economic system in which we deal with money all the time. And so it's extremely important that we handle this correctly and that we have God's values and not our own. Verse 13 of Luke 12. And one of the company said unto him, "Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me." And he said unto him, "Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you?" And he said unto them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." I said this is going to be pointed and not conceptual, but there again, if we don't have this concept, I think this is maybe one of the practical pointers for us, that we must be content and not covetous. Has to be in our core. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?' And he said, 'This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said unto him, 'Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" We can dance around a lot of scriptures. And I'm not going to just spend a whole lot of time on this concept, but except just to say this, let's not cut ourselves any slack. Jesus didn't, and neither should we. If he says it's dangerous, it's dangerous. If he says where our treasure is, there our heart is going to be also. That's what it means. And as God blesses us, let's make sure we're a blessing to those around us. Let's make sure we don't set our heart on these things. And really the only way we can keep from setting our heart on these things is by being a blessing to those around us with these. Now, the things that God gives us, these material things, we can either use them to build bridges to each other and to those who need help around us, or we can use them to build walls. And we can cut ourselves off and lift ourselves up above each other. My personal feeling is that anything that we have, we should be able to loan out to somebody or to help them use it or something. If my brother and I came to, we own a small construction company, and we came to this conclusion several years ago. We wouldn't buy anything that we wouldn't feel good about loaning out. And if it's too good for us to loan out, then we won't buy it. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I'm just saying that I think you should consciously think about this and think about, make this practical in your life, whatever you are, whether you've got equipment or whether it's something else. Make the things that you have God's things, not your own. After we've had an evaluation, after we've set goals, then it's time to create a roadmap. As long as things stay conceptual, they don't really hit us where it hurts. Generalized goals need to lead to specific planning. And young people, here again, you're in a position right now to avoid years of financial difficulties and bondage. And what is the price? It's patience, contentment. You can save yourself a whole lot of trouble if you can be patient and content. People who rush into debt and quickly try to buy the best vehicle and the nicest house end up tying themselves to those things for years and years and years, and really essentially limiting what God can do in their lives as far as, can you be called to the mission field when you have got to make that payment? I think it's really important. God comes first in planning, in giving, in living. When we neglect to keep God first, we quickly spiral out of balance. So what are some specifics in this roadmap? Husbands and wives, sit down and create a budget. And that math can be brutal, and you wonder how things can reach around, but don't take any shortcuts. My dad told me when I was first starting out, he said, if you ever get in a place where you're in a tight spot, he said, eat oatmeal every day of the week. Do whatever it takes, but don't borrow to get yourself out of debt. If you ever get behind, do whatever it takes to catch up. Live below your means. If a little bit of planning often takes care of a lot of crises before they ever happen. And I know that crises do happen. And sometimes they happen without warning and completely without being our fault. And that's one of the beauties of being in a church community, that we can care for each other and help each other out. But if you asked for advice beforehand, it makes it so much easier. But live below your means. If you don't have it, don't spend it. One practical way of doing this is setting up the allocation system, where you have your budget and you know that you're going to spend $200 in this, you're going to spend $300 in that, and you put those allocations in, and you only spend what you've got, not anymore. Credit cards are the bane of Christians. TJ and I were eating breakfast this morning, and there was a Bible study group that was in the restaurant, and they came out and paid. A little while later, one of them called back in and asked if somebody had seen his credit card. And the waitress looked around for the credit card and didn't find the credit card. And she said, it's probably in his Bible. He said, Bibles eat credit cards like nobody's business. And I thought, oh yeah, that's actually probably right. More true than she realizes. Finally, after you have your plan, follow through. A plan is only good when it's followed. So make sure you follow through. I've had to think about that when DJ was talking about their family devotions. We can have a plan, but let's make sure we follow through. If we're prone to impulse purchases, create a shopping list and only buy what's on a shopping list. If you have a discretionary purchase on your wish list, you want to buy a new pair of nice shoes or a nice jacket or whatever it is, force yourself to set aside a certain amount every month that goes toward this purchase. You might be surprised by the fact that this process of saving up for this purchase might make you want it a little less for one reason. But it's good discipline, and it's a good way to not make sure you don't fall behind. What are some common traps that we should avoid? One of them is don't rush into purchases. Pray about them. Remember, God cares about the little things. And it's not good to simply, well, there's something really nice, only $200, and we rush in and buy it. Keep a running list of needed items so you don't need to make unnecessary trips to the store back and forth. One really important thing is to avoid this thing of retail therapy, as they call it, where you feel down and out, and so you run out and to spend some money to make yourself feel better. Most of the households in our churches have single incomes. One afternoon at the mall can easily wipe out an entire day's work for the average wage earner. Husband and wife need to be a team, not in conflict. It's so important that we work together. And I am so blessed, and I know this is the case in most of our homes. I'm so blessed to have a wife who is more careful of my money with our money than I am myself. And it's just a real blessing. And it's one way that you can be a real help to your husbands, women. Avoid brand envy. That's where you have to pay double the money for something that's almost exactly the same, simply because it has a different sticker on it. Remember, when you are in debt in one area, you are essentially paying interest on every single item you purchase. The Bible says the rich ruleth, this is in Proverbs 22, verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Something to remember on this is what an old man told me one time. He said, it's really hard to out-earn interest. So get out from that as quickly as you can. And consumer and credit card debt should be avoided like the plague. Should never borrow money to buy a jacket or to buy something of that nature, consumer debt. We heard about the work ethic, but I think a little bit bears repeating. Proverbs 22, verse 13. The slothful man saith, there is a lion without. I shall be slain in the streets. And it doesn't go out. It's going to be hard to make financial ends meet if we're slothful. And it also says in Proverbs 13:4 that the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. So it's those who are willing to work whom God blesses. And then the other side of that, once again, he that trusteth in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. We've got a good friend back at home, and he made a statement to me once. He said, you know, the interesting thing about us is the fact that we rush out, work as hard as we can, so we can buy a new truck to go to work in. And you know, we put ourselves in a treadmill sometimes where we simply run in circles. And we're just doing nothing but perpetuating this thing. And in the meantime, our families suffer. God suffers. The work of the Lord suffers. Let's get off that treadmill. I think that's one of the greatest gifts we can actually give to our families. And statistically speaking, studies have been done, and this is a proven fact. The more we possess, the less we tend to share. Strange phenomenon, but it's true. And I think it's really one of the blessings that we have as Mennonite churches is that we have this interdependency. And we care about each other enough that we are willing to share with each other. But let's not lose that. I think it's good to put ourselves in a place that we are dependent on each other. And where I actually need you. Not just that I say that I need you, but that I actually need you. Years ago when church in Seymour started, there were, as I recall, I wasn't there then, but I've heard them say it, there was a haybine, there was a baler, and there were two tractors. And they were shared around the community. Everybody shared in that, and it created a close bond. People worked together. Now everybody has two tractors and a couple of balers squaring around, and nobody needs anybody anymore. And is it actually moving in the right direction, this thing of financial independence? One other thing that I think is important to remember as families is that we don't have to spend a lot of money to have a good time. You don't, of course, you're out west already. But for us, if we're going to go on vacation, we're going to go somewhere probably west of us. But you don't have to spend a lot of money to have a good time as a family. Just going down to the pond, going on a little hike next door. There's lots of things that we can do together to create memories and to bond that don't cost a lot of money. And I think it's also important that children learn the value of money by earning it in some way. I don't think we should necessarily pay our children to do what their normal jobs are. But I think it's good for them to learn the value of money by earning it and then maybe saving up for something and spending it that way. I talked a little bit about the role of women in finances. Proverbs 31 has a beautiful passage. Proverbs 31, verse 10 and 11 through 12. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. It's typically the job of the man to bring the money in, but it's amazing how much it's not just happening over here. You women can have such a huge impact in the stress levels in finances. I'd like to close with a couple of verses in Proverbs. And when it comes to practical pointers, I think it's so important that part of what we teach, what we pass on to our children, is the concept of how important it is to give. Proverbs 11, verses 24 and 25 say this: there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. How many times have you seen this happen? The person who gives, the family who gives cheerfully and joyfully of themselves, and it tends to be the kind of people who give not just money, but of themselves. And it says, it scattereth, yet increaseth. And there's also the other kind, the kind that withholdeth more than his meat, grips tightly with both fists and tries to get ahead by hook and by crook, but attendeth to poverty. God watches out for us in many ways, and I'm not saying that he always blesses his people financially in the same way. But there are principles that when we follow them, God does bless his people. And he says, the liberal soul shall be made fat, he that watereth shall be watered also himself. What goes around comes around. Parsimony, tight-fistedness, is its own curse. You've seen these people slowly alienate themselves from their communities. Generosity starts the opposite effect. And when it comes down to it, why are we here? What do we want to do with the things that God has given us? Do we want to give it back to him through whatever channel is available to us, whether it's in our neighbor or giving it to work in another country? But let's not separate our money from the rest of our spiritual life. Let's have it all part of God's work in our lives. So God bless you.